this, maybe one more before the pastor comes, we'll probably sing another chorus. Praise God.
Not feeling too well tonight, he's got the flu, so we want to pray for Brother George and John. And my mum's feeling a lot better, so we thank the Lord. And it's going around different people with flus and colds, and the Lord bless each one tonight. And just in case I forget, we're in Scarver this Sunday, same normal times, just on down this road, Brother Simon, straight on. And it's behind the old Orange Hall. I'll put the address and everything up beforehand anyhow. But normal times, and we're going to try and have like two evangelistic services for an opportunity for outreach, seeing we're going to a different hall. And I just appreciate, I know it's hard to get people to come, but we just appreciate, but maybe someone will come in, praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need, Just raise your hand up before the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come pleading the merits of your precious blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. And we plead the merits of that precious blood afresh in our lives, afresh in this house tonight and each and everyone in it. We would ask you, Lord, that you would wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us. And we shall be like hyssop. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I pray to take the Holy Ghost right now to help me in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, I thank you for your help. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll have your way in our lives tonight. And pray for Brother John and Brother George and my mom and any others maybe that haven't been mentioned as sick tonight. We ask from the crown of the head to the soles of their feet, may they know your healing touch upon their bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray for the sisters that perhaps had to work tonight, or brothers. Bless them, be with them, undertake for them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for the Nelson family at this time and the wider family bereaved at this time. Lord, I just pray you'll comfort them. I pray you'll strengthen them. I pray you'll bless them, Lord. And I pray you'll speak to men and women, souls at this time, and that people get saved in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask you for the hands raised in this house tonight. There's many needs. But Lord, you said if we bring a request unto you, that you'd answer us. And we're asking, Lord, and we're bringing them before you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll answer prayer, meet the need of that brother, the need of that sister, the need of that boy, that girl, in the name of Jesus Christ. Answer prayer tonight. And any that's tuned in, answer their prayers and touch them and heal them and do for them whatever they've desired of you, Lord, tonight in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, bless us with your word tonight and just give us the things to say and the context to the text in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to be seated and we're going to read from chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. I was going to omit 16 and 17. And did a load of notes on chapter 18. Got it all prepared. And then someone said to me, you need to go back to 16. And I said, Lord, but I've nothing prepared in 16. But they just kept on nagging on me to go back to 16. So I've just a few thoughts from 16 tonight. And I want to read from verse 1 to 5 and 16. Then you could read through it if you want. But my title tonight is Samuel Must Continue His Commission. Samuel must continue his commission. This is my title tonight. And well, let's read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 5. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Let's jump to verse 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player of an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he shall play with a hand and thou shalt be well. Now, we'll end our reading there because it's the first verses I want to major on more this evening. And I'm not going to keep you as long tonight. Last week I went on too long or the week before, but I don't want to hold you too long, praise the Lord. Samuel is to continue his commission. And Samuel has a commission, and we saw from the started of Samuel, that Samuel came about in a wonderful way. Hannah couldn't bear children, and Hannah was weeping, and the priest saw her lips moving, but he never heard anything, and he thought she's drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk, but I'm praying. She was barren, and her husband loved her very much. He said she was as dear to him as 12 sons, was it, or servants. He really loved her. He really loved Hannah. But the priest said, the Lord grant your request. And then Hannah had a son, and she called him Samuel. And she lent him unto the Lord. And the Lord's hand was mightily on Samuel, so that Samuel was a very special prophet. Because the Bible says not one word of Samuel fell to the ground, but every single thing Samuel said would come to pass all the days. It's not really special. There's other prophets in the Bible here, but I believe Samuel was special in that way. And I know all the prophets, they had the word of the Lord. We know that. But here Samuel had retired to his own house in Ramah with a resolution, you know, not to appear in public anymore. Samuel had retired. Samuel was grieved. Samuel was sorry about Saul. Even though all these things had befallen Saul, yet Samuel was so grieved and lamented Saul so much that he returned to his house. And I believe he had said to himself, I'll not go out again. You know, but he was also at that time giving his time to the training of the sons of the prophets in the background. And Samuel was training the sons of the prophet whom he presided over. He looked after them. He presided over them. He trained them. If you were to go to 1 Samuel 19:20, and it tells you about Samuel training them prophets. And in Psalms 1 Samuel 19:20, where he trained them. So we know Samuel did that. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when he saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So we see Samuel had a group of men he was looking after. Praise God. But you think of it, how this man's mighty use of God, and yet with all here, as we look through this, God first of all reproves Samuel for continuing so long to mourn after Saul and the rejection of Saul. God reproves him, and God says, mourn no more for Saul, for I have provided me with the king. Now this is an important point here, and I won't go into all of it tonight, but we'll see a bit more about David. We know that David was the king that God provided. But if you were to go back through the book of Samuel and think of this, God says, I have provided me a king. You see, Saul was the people's king. Because the people mourned so much to God and they complained so much before Samuel that God said to Samuel he would permit them to have a king. So the king that they had was their own choosing in a sense. But this king here is a different king than Saul, because this king is God's choosing. And not only is this king God's choosing, but this king is a man after God's own heart. And you know the wonderful thing, and I remember my father telling me this many years ago, he said that he always wondered, why is it that David is a man after God's own heart? When you think of the things that David did, that how he had took another man's wife and put her husband to the forefront of the battle, and he had him killed, and he done all them things. He done many things that were wrong. But my father says that he believes the Lord showed him that he was a man after God's own heart, because David repented. And you see, David repented even though David fell, and even though David fell short and did things he shouldn't have done, he repented. But there's times here when we've been studying about Saul, and Saul done things that he shouldn't have done, and we don't read of him repenting. We read of him making excuses why he done it. And he had good reason to do it. We've saw that as well. But yet with all that, we don't read of him actually repenting of it. And here, you know, Samuel's told, don't be mourning any more for him, for I have provided a king. And the people, you see, they had a king, but God provided a king. And you see, it's always best to let God's full will be done. There's the will of God, and there's the permissive will of God. And you know, in the ministry of William Branham, it really comes out well. And he describes it well, and he describes when he was in Africa and God was really using him in the meetings. And the men wanted him to go somewhere else to preach. But he wasn't meant to go somewhere else to preach. But they persuaded him. And he lifted a stone and he threw it up and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, we're out of the will of God." And when they had the meetings, hailstones came in the meetings. But people were getting out of wheelchairs and people were getting saved. And the blind was seeing and the deaf was hearing. And the fellows with them joked about it. And they joked and said, "If this is the permissive will of God, it's great." But that prophet knew it was the permissive will of God. And he thought many times after it, what would have happened if he had stayed in the perfect will of God? So somebody can be in the permissive will of God and still have a blessing. But how much more the blessing when we're in the perfect will of God? And he refers to as well women preaching. And he says, you know, this woman said, "The Lord called me to preach." And he says, "I don't doubt it. Because if they keep asking long enough, God might permit something, but it's not the perfect will of God." And here we see this here, I believe, in a way in the Bible, because the people mourned and complained to Samuel, so God permitted them to have a king. But that wasn't the way that God first worked it, but he let them have it. Amen. You know, there's many things I could say about it, but I'll follow with this tonight. You see, it's always best to let God lead us and let ourselves lead us, because sometimes if we lead ourselves, we can go the wrong way. But we want God to lead us. We want God's provided way. And we want God to lead us. And we know that the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways each day, I am a strong believer in praying that all the time. Every day, to acknowledge the Lord. Here's another thing as well about Samuel. God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And God tells Samuel, "Fill thine horn with oil." Now I want to draw your attention again. And every time we see whether it's Samuel going to anoint someone with oil, or whether it's God that chooses a man and anoints a man, this horn of oil is mentioned. And the oil in the Bible always represents the Holy Spirit. And there's never nowhere when God calls a man, or when God anoints a king or anoints someone into the position for the work of God, there is no time where it happens without the anointing oil. It's always anointing oil. We even read of the anointing oil running down Aaron's beard. The anointing oil. And this is God's way, and it's still God's way tonight. And the book of Ephesians tells us that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, wherefore we are sealed on the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit that seals us. And when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we can never be lost, because that's the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us. And it's so important to have this anointing on. I've just marked this. I've just done some hymns tonight, and I don't know how the Lord will lead with all of it. But I've wrote here, draw attention to this. No man can ever be anointed of God in any age or dispensation without the oil of God. And you see, when them seven church-age messengers were picked, they were picked because of the Holy Spirit. Because of that Pentecostal blessing, they were picked. And I tell you, the messenger that we believe God sent in the last days, in the spirit of Elijah, the seventh angel messenger, he was definitely anointed of God, wasn't he? And we would pick him because he was so anointed and gifted of the Lord. And all them church, even Luther was anointed. John Wesley was anointed. They were anointed, and they had a special message for each generation and the age they were in. They had a special message, and they were specially anointed to declare that message. Now, they're all different. You think of wee John Wesley, a wee small man, and he got up there in the streets in England and preaching early in the morning, real early in the morning. And I don't know many times a day he'd preaching real early in the morning, and I've got his journal, John Wesley's journal. Brother Andrew had mentioned John Wesley's journal, and I said, you know, I think I've got that. And I found it one day when I was in England at a car boot sale, and I think I bought it for about a fiver or something, or £10. Now I'll tell you, whoever sold it doesn't realize that all the books in many Christian libraries today, all together, are not as worth what that book's worth. I believe that. There's so much in that book. And John Wesley had a ministry of healing as well. He believed in healing. And his own horse, you know, when it broke the ankle or sprained it, and he jumped off it and prayed for it, and God healed it, and he got back on it. And John Wesley said in Ed Botham's book, Volume 1, he said that any man that'll take faith in God can even see the dead raised if he believes it. That was a Methodist called John Wesley. Imagine you raised John Wesley from the grave tonight. Just think of this. Imagine we raised John Wesley from the grave, and he's the same message he had when he was here. And we sent him around all the churches that wouldn't want him. They're not preaching what he preached. And then you have Luther, Martin Luther, a monk of the Augustine order, in absolute pitch dark blackness. But again, enlightened by the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. Who do you think enlightens you with the Scripture? It's the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and he makes it live. And he enlightens you from the Scripture. And he was enlightened just to live by faith. And what another mighty man. And he came out. He came out of Romanism. And he denounced the Pope. And he nailed the 95 theses on the door at Wittenberg, praise God. And he denied all they had. And he knew that they didn't need the sacrament, they needed Jesus. Amen. Especially anointed. And we could go right on through them, all their messengers, but they were anointed. And I'm stressing this point, that Samuel is told of God, these instructions, you see. I want you to think of these instructions. These are instructions that when you read of Saul being anointed, it was the same. Saul was anointed the same. And all these people, God anoints him. Saul had a ministry. And we've already saw that he had a ministry. There's no denying it. We know it is what happened at his end. But let's not forget how God used him because of that anointing. I tell you, the oil of anointing represents the Holy Spirit. Here's another thing about Samuel. Samuel is not so keen to go, because he's afraid of Saul finding them in verse 2. Now this really is something, this is hard for us to take in, but it's not hard for Samuel to take in, because Samuel has saw how wicked Saul's become. And Samuel has saw how evil Saul's become. Remember, this is the same Saul that was going to kill Jonathan because he plucked a bit of honey down. And only the people stopped him, he would have killed his own son. This is the same Saul. And Samuel's afraid. Now imagine Samuel being afraid. This is the same Samuel that was bold and went up and prophesies to him and kills that other boy we saw the other week and slices him in pieces. This is the same Samuel. Man, reminds me when Brother Branham was preaching about Elijah doing all the great acts, and you find him down in a wee river somewhere, and he's depressed more or less. He's in a bad shape and he doesn't know how he's going to work. And God has to send an angel, tell him to strengthen him and feed him and give him water and everything and lift him up a bit. He's down. And it doesn't matter how mighty you are, he can get down. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes you have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And the enemy can flood our minds with everything. And you know, that's not sin when things come in your mind. It's only sin when you let it manifest. It's like the crows flying on the trees, you know. But the nesting's the problem. You had to get the shotgun out sometime and give them a blast and off they go. And that's the same with the sin in the mind. Things can come in the mind, but you need a spiritually blasted with the Word of God. And it needs a good blast with the Word of God. You see, Saul here, he'll kill me. This is what he said in verse 2. This really shows how bad Saul had become after his rejection. And Samuel knew it, and that's certainly why he mentioned it. He mentions it here. Let's just mention for a reason. Think of a man that's used so much of God, and anointed of God, and now he's going to go about and kill God's people. Amen? You see, if God takes his hand of any one of us, we could do anything. We wouldn't last the end of the week. And the Bible says that God took his hand of Saul. And it didn't just say God took his hand of Saul, but it says God let an evil spirit come on Saul. And I tell you, when we look at people and so often we're judgmental of them and the condition they're in, But you see, it's only God can change someone. It's only the Spirit of God. And you know, when I think back so many times to William Mullen's testimony, it blesses me so much because it's a wee book called A Tramp for God. If you ever get a chance, get in and read it. A Tramp for God. There he was sleeping out wild and everything, and in a gang and out in the frost and the snow, and God preserved him, for God had to work for him. Amen. And I tell you, God mightily used him. And you think of our wee meeting here tonight, and you know, we're not too bad tonight who's come out, you know, for this fellowship. But I want you to think of some years ago when I was maybe only a wee fella, and when William Mullen was over lurking there, 500 people attended his midweek Bible studies. That's how many people attended them. That's how God used that man. And I tell you, God used Saul. And that's why you see, you know, when one of these scriptures here and through here, you'll see, for it says, publish it not, how the mighty are fallen in battle. And we're not to boast when someone falls. And when a great man of God falls, or a sister, or anyone, we're not to boast about it. We should be praying for them. For there's not one of us above it. It's only God that keeps us. You see, when you think of this here for a moment, someone willing to kill the Lord's prophet Samuel. I tell you, it's not something. You think how God used Samuel. You think how Samuel was loaned to the Lord. Think of the words that went over Samuel. Think of the words that Samuel's given. Samuel himself must have been a mighty warrior, because he's slain a lot of people under the power of God. And yet Saul, we know Saul was mighty, wasn't it? We know Saul was. We know what Saul was capable of doing in warfare. He was a powerful man. And Samuel's afraid. And you think of that, and then think of, would he be willing to kill the Lord's anointed? For Samuel is surely the Lord's anointed. That's how far he had come down. That's how far he had changed. And you know, you can clearly see Samuel's fear, the rage that Saul was now in. Let's remember, an evil spirit from the Lord had come on Saul. Then I want you to remember someone else here this evening. God orders him to cover his design with a sacrifice in verse 4. Now, what I mean with that is, the Lord's telling him to go up, and he's telling the Lord, I'm afeard of Saul. And God's saying, tell him you're going to do a sacrifice. You know, you get a lot of this in the Old Testament. It's not a lie, but it's just a wee sort of a disguise over it. It's so, isn't it? He's covering his design in a way. He's not going to tell Saul everything that he's about. He didn't say to Saul, here, I'll tell you what, I'm going up to anoint David. He didn't tell him that. Now, he knows he's going to anoint a new king, but he doesn't tell Saul that. But he tells Saul, I'm going to sacrifice, but he doesn't give him where he's going and all the details. He covers his design. And I tell you, that's sometimes how it is, isn't it? You know, the Bible says, let your answer be yea, nay. And the Bible says, agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way. And sometimes it's not good to put your point over and, you know, with somebody and argue with them and, you know, fix them as it were. Sometimes you're better just the yea and nay and go on. And here we see this with Samuel. Samuel doesn't give a whole big thing to Saul. Samuel just tells him, I'm going to sacrifice. And he was, but that's not all that's happening. Amen. Samuel had wisdom, but God gave him it. Because it's God's instructions here. I've come to sacrifice, and it was true he did, and it was proper that he should. And when he came to anoint king, you see, when you see every time that he comes to anoint a king in the Bible, he does a sacrifice. Let's go back till I'll read it for you, 1 Samuel 11:15. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in the Gilgal. And there they sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So you see, you can't give too much away, because Saul's bound to think back when he was made king, how it happened. And God never changes his mind about his word. He does it the same way. Amen? And he's doing it the same way again. So Samuel just tells him enough. Now, I want to give notice of sacrifice. He's going to invite Jesse here. And many could have been, you know, many believe that Jesse could have been the principal man in that Axel City. So when Samuel went up to Bethlehem here, when he went up, and he's going to anoint David, and he doesn't even know it's David because he goes through them all. He doesn't pick David right away. We know that. But many believe that Jesse could have been the principal man here in the city, and he's calling Jesse up and all his family up, and he's getting them all together for this sacrifice before the Lord, because he's going to have a son anointed to be king. And Jesse, I'm sure, doesn't even know at this time that it's going to be David. But the Lord knows, doesn't it? See, the Lord knows. Now, I want you to pause for a moment. Now, I want you to think, when I preached before, how that Samuel saw Saul coming. And how not only he saw Saul coming, but he saw after he came where he would go and what he would do. But here Samuel's going again, and he's going to anoint one of Jesse's sons, but he doesn't know which one it is this time. God hasn't showed him it all this time. And you see, this is the thing even about a prophet of God. A prophet of God can only say and only know what God permits him to know. And he doesn't know everything. He only knows what God's given. But God has a further plan, and we know he has, because we can read on ahead and see it. But come to where Samuel is. Samuel can't read on. Samuel's gone out here in faith. He's anointing one of Jesse's sons. He doesn't know it's David. He wouldn't have picked David. The first one you see when he was going to pick was the one that looked like Saul, the big fella. God said, no, he's not the one. But David, ruddy of complexion. Isn't that right? You see, God chooses whom he will. Even Samuel would have picked maybe the wrong one, but it wasn't God's will. And Samuel, being a prophet of God, and that one word fall on the ground, couldn't pick him because God didn't choose him. And even though he might have wanted him, he couldn't do it like that. He had to do it the way God said. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And he calls all the family up here and his family to come unto the feast, unto the sacrifice, and says, God, I will show thee what I will do. Those that go about God's work, God's way, will be directed step by step. Amen. I want you to see this tonight. I've only a few thoughts tonight, but you see, many times, and I'm guilty, many times I'm praying and I'm wanting God to speak to me, and wanting God to show me a bit more in the future, and wanting God to tell me what he has for me and what he wants me to do. And many times the Lord doesn't say anything to me. Because you see, here's a prophet of God, and you think of the ministry he had, and think of the calling he had, and think of the position he had. He's loaned to the Lord. He's anointed to the Lord. Not one word can fall to the ground, and God's not even showing him everything. And many times some of us want to know more than even what a prophet would know, but God won't permit it. He'll just lead us step by step. And if God leads us step by step, isn't it enough? And the Bible says we're not to be worrying ourselves about tomorrow, what we're going to wear and what we're going to do. But the Bible says today is sufficient for itself. And so often we can be stressed out worrying about the future, and it happens to all of us. But the Bible tells us we're not to worry about it. Today we'll take care of ourselves, and the Lord will take care of us. We'll just acknowledge him and commit our ways to him. Step by step. And I tell you, Samuel goes forward. And he goes forward step by step. Psalm 37:23 says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Not wonderful. So if we're praying and we're saved, and we're asking for the Holy Spirit, and we're living in the truth that we know, God's going to lead us. Just keep on walking. Amen. Keep going forward. Keep on walking. Don't be worrying. Keep on going. Sometimes, you know, I come to preach and I don't feel of anything inspired to preach, and I don't feel like it in my own self, but I keep going on ahead. And that's what you have to do. Keep on going. Samuel went according to Bethlehem as a servant to lead their heifer, which he was a sacrifice. want you to think of this. Samuel's going up and he's telling Saul, I'm just going up to do a bit of a sacrifice. Think of him with a rope and the heifer with him and he's sticking her up. And you know, we could study it tonight, but I guarantee it was a red heifer. Because when you study about Israel and study about the Bible, there are special red heifers that they sacrificed. And they say they've rebred them again. You know, them Jewish people know the Messiah's going to come back. I seen a thing online the other day, and this one boy was saying, God's totally finished with the Jews. And he says, I'm believing in the gospel of grace, and a lot of things he had were right, but a lot of things he had as well were wrong. And I didn't go on to debate with him, because I did talk to some fella before, and he got stuck a bit on some points, and he never answered back again, but he's appeared again. He has appeared. But I just left it this time. But what I would ask him, tell him, if God's finished with the Jews, I would ask him, why is it that God says he's never married a backslider to speak in Israel? He's actually speaking to Israel. And I would ask him, who's the Lord talking to through the prophetic psalm when he says, how did you get these marks in your hand and these wounds? And he says, receive these in the house of a friend. He's talking to the Jews. Then I would ask him, where we know in the seventh church age that on the seventh seal and down through that seal book where it's clearly shown two messengers in Revelation. And they're going to go to Israel and they're going to preach them the same message. And they're going to receive the same Holy Ghost seal of God that the church, the real church gets, the bride. And I would ask him, what about that? You see, venturing without authority. Thank God for the truth. We're blessed. We're blessed. God has blessed us. Here David's come up with this heifer to sacrifice, yet the elders of Bethlehem tremble that it's coming. Now I want you to think of this. When the sees Samuel coming, they're trembling in their boots. They're afraid because they know from the past the things the Lord's done. And yet, unknown to them, perhaps, Samuel was afraid of Saul. Think of that. You could have a man of God in the pulpit and you could think to yourself, isn't he powerful boy? He's anointed. He's a powerful man of God. And literally, you know, he could be trembling in his boots. That's the truth. Many times I've went to preach and I don't know what I'm going to preach and praying and asking the Lord to help me. And people think, boy, he's a big fella and he's a tough big lad. I went somewhere one time and they thought I'd shaved the head, you know, to be one of these modern day heart men. And I said, I've never shaved it. I'm like, obviously you get away. But you know, people look on the outward appearance, God looks in the heart. But you see my point, what I'm saying tonight. A man under the anointing can look powerful because it's God in him. When God was on Samuel and Samson and all these wonderful men, they did exploits for the Lord. But when the Spirit of God went off them, they were ordinary men. And I tell any one of us tonight, we're just ordinary people. But when the anointing of God comes, we can pray a prayer of faith. We can preach someone that will touch people. We can lay hands on the sick and they will suffer because of the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you here, he's gone up. And they're trembling in their boots. They're afraid. They don't know what's taking place because they haven't heard all the news yet. But there's a new king going to be anointed. I tell you, fear, an indication of God's displeasure against them, and they feared in case he came to announce judgment for the iniquities. That's why they were fearing. I'll guarantee they're saying, here's Samuel coming. You see that stuff we've been doing, we're in trouble now. God's going to judge us. This is why Samuel's coming. Doesn't the Bible say, prophesy things we don't want to hear? Not always the ear tickler. Sometimes it's a word from the Lord. 1 Samuel 16 verse 4 to 5 says this, and I'm going to close. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse, his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Now, I should have put it in here from Job, but I was bait for time. because I had two sermons done before I got this one. And I was beat for the time. But in Job, you see, this reminds me a bit of Job. Job prepared his house, and Job offered for his house in case it committed something wrong. Job sacrificed for them. And here, Samuel's saying, this is before the whoop, this is before the anointed king. Sanctify yourselves. He's preparing them for something. And I believe the Lord's saying to us as a fellowship tonight, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will work wonders amongst you. I tell you, doesn't the Bible speak about it? Break up the fallow ground, it's time to seek the Lord. And I tell you, Samuel here is preparing them. And he's calling them to sacrifice. And he's telling them to sanctify themselves. Sanctify yourselves. And come to the sacrifice. And I tell you, I believe if God's people would sanctify themselves. And you know, how many believes in the work of sanctification? We certainly believe in salvation, the Holy Spirit, but there's a work of sanctification. For God wants us to be sanctified vessels. And when we come sanctified, God can really do something. God can move. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And you just pray as the Lord leads. And we won't be long tonight. And don't forget, we have a Scarva this Sunday in the new community centre for the two services. We don't have this hall this Sunday, 11 in the morning and 6 again in the evening. And pray for Brother Terry. Brother Terry's going to share his testimony in our evening service. I thought it would be good, you know. And for Brother Terry, I felt to ask him, and he's agreed, and we praise God for that. And it's great to give your testimony, isn't it? Pray for Brother Terry that Sunday, and we've heard of maybe a few people's going to come and ask others. All we can do is do our best, and then we don't know what's going to happen, but we'll go forward like Samuel, and we'll see what the Lord can do, and God can do anything. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the Word of God. We thank you for the preciousness, the blessedness of your Word. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful servants in the Bible, but most of all, we thank of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, who went about the Father's will and poured out his life for a ransom for many. Father, this evening we would see Jesus. We would seek to uplift you in this service and in our lives and sanctify you amongst us. Lord, not that you need sanctified, but that we would be sanctified for you. And Lord, that you would be pleased to come and pour out of your blessing upon your people. Blessing and salvation and healing and deliverance. Lord, that people would get saved and turn on to the Lord. Lord, we think of many family friends tonight, brothers and sisters, and sons and daughters. We pray that the Holy Spirit will move in them and speak to them. And we ask that token to be upon them tonight. Cover them with your blood. We place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ, and we claim them for your kingdom tonight. Father, bless the older in the meeting, the younger in the meeting. Bless each and every one in this house tonight. And those that couldn't be here, bless them. And we do pray again for Israel, that your presence will be upon them and about them, that the angel of the Lord will camp around them and preserve them in Jesus' precious name. Father, for Brother Terry this Sunday, will you bless him? Will you anoint him? Will you quicken him? Will you prepare the ground, Lord, and bless the hall, and just commit it all to you tonight, and ask that you'll lead us step by step in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.